Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for today comes from our epistle lesson from Hebrews chapter 13, and in particular, we'll focus on the first eight verses of that chapter. Our text from Hebrews tells us today to keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. And actually, if we think about it, throughout the scriptures, in lots of places, God's word tells us to keep on loving one another or to love one another. But even when we have the very best of intentions, our old sinful nature has a way of tugging at us and convincing us that we really need to put ourselves first and others somewhere else down the list. As we all know, if we're really honest with ourselves, being loving isn't very easy. And that's probably why this topic comes up so much in the Bible. God knew that we would need to be reminded over and over and over again of what love is and how love works. Today's lesson reminds us that our very ability to love comes from God. He is the source of love. He first loved us so that we would be able to love one another. And verse 8 of our text tells us that Jesus is always with us as we keep on loving one another. He will be with us forever, and so it is that he will help us live a lifestyle of love that offers praise and glory to God. Now, our text from Hebrews 13 lists for us some specific ways in which we are to continue to love one another by using that love that Christ gives to us. And the first act of love that our text directs us to is hospitality. Verse 2 says, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, people have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing it." In other words, we are to love people, not just relatives and friends and people we know, but we are to love all people. Strangers, by definition, are those whom you know nothing about. But if you think about it, through Jesus Christ, we do know something about strangers. We know that God created them. We know that they are sinners just like us. We know that Christ died for them, and we know that we can share the love of Jesus with them too. The Bible even says that when we invite a stranger to dinner, we may be inviting an angel, like it happened to Abraham back in Genesis 18. Now, I don't think that God means for us here to go out into the streets and to drag random people home for dinner. But I do think that he wants us to have a genuine care and concern for others that reflects the kind of care and concern that he has for us. And if a stranger is someone who you don't already know, then I would suggest that many of us here at church are often strangers to one another. God wants us to reach out and to get to know the other people who he brings in fellowship with us. But name tags and sharing the peace on Sunday mornings only go so far. Each week, as you come to church, I challenge you to introduce yourself to someone you don't know. I bet there's someone here each week who you can find. Church members, get to know our college students. College students, get to know our church members. And, you know, we have quite a few international guests who are here every Friday morning in our English classes. And I'm told that statistically, most visiting international students and scholars never have the opportunity to spend time as a guest in an American home. We have the opportunity to show hospitalities to strangers right here in our midst. The next directive from our Hebrews text this morning is one that might challenge us a bit. We are to think about those in prison as though we ourselves or a family member were the one locked up. Now this text was written at a time and place when Christians were being persecuted because of their faith. And it's easy for us to have sympathy for someone who's in prison because of their faith. And for those who are innocent but have been victims of injustice. But I think that this way of loving others also includes those who are in prison because they've committed a crime and they should be there. We love them not by denying their guilt, but by recognizing their forgiveness through Jesus Christ. We demonstrate God's love when we forgive others even as God has forgiven us. The second part of that same verse, verse 3, goes on to address suffering. We continue to love one another when we think about those who are suffering as if it were ourselves personally or a family member who was suffering. I think that it's pretty easy for us to turn away when we see or when we hear about suffering. There are parts of this world and even places in our own country where people are suffering because of extreme poverty or violence or lack of suitable health care. As the people of Christ, we can love them, whether it's through personal involvement, through a servant event or a mission trip, or through some kind of ongoing volunteer work in our community, or by offering our leadership skills or financial assistance to a mission team or agency that works to help alleviate suffering. The truth of the matter is, at one time or another, all people suffer. Sometimes it shows and sometimes it doesn't. And we can't take away the pains and the sorrows of others, but we can keep on loving them. And how we respond has nothing to do with the cause of the suffering. Sometimes people have done things that have caused them pain, and we've all done those kind of things. But Christ has loved and does love and will love us anyway. Next, our text tells us that part of continuing to love one another includes respecting marriage. Not only our own marriage, but all marriages. Husbands and wives keep on loving one another by being faithful to their marriage vows. And we all keep on loving one another when we honor the marriage relationship between husbands and wives. And Christians have a great opportunity to respect marriage in this way by bearing witness to biblical values in the public square. But an even greater opportunity, I think, is through ministering to people so that married couples have the resources, the help, and the support of others, the support that they need to get through those struggles that all relationships face. It's about applying God's grace and God's forgiveness to our own marriages. It's about being role models in our marriage for our children and for those who aren't married and for other couples. And so we love one another by respecting marriage. So far we've looked at least four examples of how this text encourages us to continue to love one another, and a fifth one that the text lists is this: we keep on loving one another when we love people, not money. We love each other when we don't measure ourselves or others by net worth. And this is especially difficult, I think, in our culture, in our country, because we have so much and we have the opportunity to get so much more. And it can be easy for us to devalue people in that process, in that quest for personal gain. But God's love teaches us and reminds us that we are to value others the same way that God values us. And finally, God's word gives us some advice about love. It says we should continue to love those who have helped us in our past so that we can follow their example. Perhaps you've heard it said that the heart that truly loves never forgets. And that's how it should be with our hearts. Not only does God place special people into our lives who help us and who show us love, but he also gives us those very same people to be role models to us. Perhaps it's a parent or a grandparent or an old neighbor or someone from church who you've been able to look up to as an example of how you want to be. And if you continue to love those who have been role models to you in the past, then you'll be able to love people in your present time and in the future with the love that you already have. And of course, the most important role model we can look to when it comes to love is Jesus Christ. As we strive to live our lives in love, we can always count on our Savior. Our text from Hebrews 13 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is good news because it means that God's love is not temporary. He will never leave us. He will never give up on us. Ultimately, we are able to live lives of love that give praise to God because we belong to him. His name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, was put on us with the water at our baptism. And where God locates his name, there he can always be found. When we concentrate on ourselves, we neglect our Maker and we sin against him, and we sin against our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But thanks be to God for the mercy and the grace that remain ours. Thanks be to God for the promises from him that stick with us no matter what. Thanks be to God that we have a Savior who is willing to die in our place and to rise again so that we would always be within the incredible reach of his love. Belonging to God also means that we belong together as a community of faith, where we help each other hold on in hard times, where we support and strengthen one another in our faith walk, and where we together praise God with lives of love. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.